Hi, and welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. My name is Emily Thomas, and I am a mom on a mission to get a new perspective. Y'all, I am not proud of it, but I spent far too long waiting for my daily irritations to resolve before the good times can begin. And I'm thinking the struggles are just going to keep coming, so I might as well get a new plan. God promises if we persevere through our daily struggles, our character will be built and we'll end up with a hope that doesn't disappoint. And I don't know about you, but my hardest days happen when I've lost sight of that hope. So if that's your story too, join me each week as I interview someone who has passed from just struggling to struggling well. Happy Monday, or whatever day you're listening. This is episode 33, and we are talking with my friend Krista. She is a self-proclaimed cougar who married a boy who was 3 years younger than her. So scandal right off the bat. They have 4 kids. They live in North Carolina. She does have an Etsy shop that she does when she feels like it, which I love that. She's left-handed. So am I. Love that. She loves yoga. Me too. And decaffeinated coffee. That's where we differ. But as she will tell you, part of her story involves having stomach problems her whole life. And so she talks a lot about gut health and how that's changed so many things for her family. Another part of her story includes crippling anxiety and how she found freedom from that. She tells us some step-by-step things that she did and things she currently does in her daily life that help her with anxiety. So an update on the Mom Struggling Well mugs. They were here. They were wrong. I sent them back. And they're currently at this moment being reprinted. And they're coming back to me. So many of you have ordered. Wow, you guys are a really great community of people. So supportive and fun. And I love you all. I was talking to my sister and I said, oh my gosh, all these people have ordered mugs and I don't have the mugs. And she reminded me, she always gives me a lot of clarity. These people who ordered mugs, they have mugs at home. They are not drinking their coffee out of their cupped hands. They are fine waiting. So I just want to say, I wish I had the mugs. I don't have the mugs. I will get you the mugs the minute that I get them. I'm sending a lot of emails with lots of smiley faces saying, hey, where are the mugs? So hopefully this week they will be sent back to me and I can get them out to all of you next week. If you haven't got your mug and you want to get your Mom Struggling Well red campfire mug, then go to momstrugglingwell.com/mugs and you can order yours. I really loved my conversation with Krista and I know that you will too. So let's jump right in. Hi, Krista. How are you this morning?
I am good. Emily, how are you doing?
I'm good. Will you please tell everybody who exactly you are?
Yes. My name is Krista Maney, and I blog very, very rarely at KristaManey.com. Uh-huh. I live in North Carolina, in Western North Carolina, and I've been married to my husband, John, for, it'll be 12 years in June, I guess. Yeah, 12 years.
You guys were tiny when you got married.
We were, he was 19. I was 22. I was a little older.
But, okay. Yeah. Well, you may have been full size. You were just really young.
Yeah.
We're tiny.
Yeah. No, he was still in college. He was like, it was after his sophomore year in college that we got married.
Wow.
So yeah, he was still in college and we have 4 kids and our first child, Emery, turned 1 the same weekend he graduated from grad school.
Oh my goodness. What did he study?
Occupational therapy.
Okay. And what did you study?
I studied deaf education and elementary education.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There's not a lot of schools that have that for undergrad, but there was one here. So that's how I ended up here. Yeah.
That's great. So what got you interested in deaf education?
My dad always was interested in all sorts of things. He's like a real creative. And when I was young, I remember him having a sign language book and we were just so intrigued by that. And at my elementary school, there we had like a sign language club or something, and I thought that was pretty neat. And I always knew I wanted to be a teacher from like really, really early on. But okay. In high school, I homeschooled, and I was able to volunteer at a local self-contained deaf ed classroom.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with it. I was like, this is what I want to do. And I took some ASL classes at the community college when I was in high school and then just found a college that offered deaf ed. So that's, I mean,
that's great.
Just, you know, volunteering and getting the experience. But it was really fun for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. You have an Etsy shop.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about that.
I am kind of a fair weather Etsy friend, mm-hmm. or Etsy creator, I guess. I love to crochet. It's relaxing. It's really fun. It's a good creative outlet for me. Mm-hmm. And so I started a shop on my own. And so I crochet things like hats and towels and ear warmers and earrings. Earrings are one of my favorite things.
Okay.
And mason jar cozies.
Yes, I have one.
That's right.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah, that's one of my most popular things. So yeah, I love it. I love that Etsy allows you to produce, or not produce, and your shop's still there, and it's not a big deal, you know. So right. I have spurts where I'll feel really creative and like I have margin to sit down and think through patterns or things like that, and then I'll have times when I don't. And so it's okay for my shop to sit there and I can just keep listings in there, or I can, you know, add listings and have more product or whatever. So
yes, so much freedom. You mentioned that you are passionate about helping people understand God's heart for them.
Yes.
And you said seeing other people set free from fear.
Yes.
And then you mentioned gut health, and I would not, that kind of was a curveball for me. I'm sure that it's super important, but I do want to talk about those. I feel like the first two kind of go together a little bit.
Yeah.
Tell me about being set free from fear and God's heart, and if they are related to you or what.
Yes, they're very related for me. So most of my life, I was really bound by fear, just completely afraid of everything.
What did that look like?
I had like lots of things that were like possible, but not probable. And that's really how I let things kind of get in there and sit, is because I was like, well, it is possible, you know, but it's not probable. Okay. So as an adult, like when I really started feeling like this is a problem for me, I cannot continue to live this way. It's like, you know, it would get dark and I wouldn't want to leave my house.
Okay.
If I did, and sometimes even during the day when if I was by myself, I'd, you know, like run to my car and have like an adrenaline rush. Like I'd get there and be like, you know, okay, I made it. But there was nothing that was chasing me or looked like it would chase me.
Right.
Or my husband was working nights for a while, and every night I would just be terrified that someone was going to like break in the house. Or, I mean, that was probably the main thing. Or like weird stuff. Like, I mean, this is embarrassing, but it's just true. Like maybe someone else out there feels like this, so they won't know they're not alone. But like, I'd be afraid to get out of bed because I might like step on a snake, which like, why would there be a snake in my house?
But it is possible. Yeah.
Right. But it is weirdly possible because one time it happened to someone I knew, you know, like weird stuff like that. And I just felt like I can't live like this anymore. You know, I'd lay in bed and I wouldn't turn the light out. And then I'd like finally make myself turn the light out. I mean, it was just this like long process to go to bed every night. And
this was every day and every night?
It was like every night when he worked.
Okay.
That's kind of when it came to a head. Like I was just afraid of everything all the time. Like it just was crazy. So I just felt like I can no longer live this way. The other side of that would be insecurity. Like I was just riddled with insecurity and really unsure about just myself almost, you know? So that's like one side of it. And the other side of it was like the real fear, where I was like afraid of the dark and afraid of like these things. So
did it ramp up when you had kids, or was it kind of just new struggles?
Yeah, I think it definitely ramped up when I had kids, because then I had other people to take care of. So like every night when I was laying in bed, I'd like make a plan for if I heard somebody come through the door, how I would get all my kids into one room and like push the dresser against the door. You know, I mean, I can laugh about it now, but I was just really paralyzed.
So what made it to where you can laugh about it now?
Well, I decided that I needed to be honest with people about it. Like I never told anybody because it was embarrassing. So I just kind of kept it to myself, which I feel like that's such a thing that the enemy wants. If there's things we're struggling with, just like keep it under the blanket, you know,
and absolutely
don't let anybody know. And then it just kind of grows like bacteria in the dark. It's really bad. Yeah. So I text a few people, my pastor and some close friends, and just said, I cannot do this anymore. And I really need prayer.
Okay.
I'm really afraid. And I think what happened, that's right. So we've had a couple shady neighbors in a rental next to us.
Okay.
And this is when it all came to a head.
Okay.
A detective came by.
That's never good.
My husband was out front doing yard work, and a detective came by and said, we're going to be coming by next door, the guy there is wanted for attempted armed robbery.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And my kids and I were playing in the backyard, and this was all unbeknownst to us, and they show up with like rifles and stuff. Thankfully, we had like absolutely no idea what was going on because there's trees between the two yards.
Okay.
But that was just kind of one of those things where I thought, I can't stay here tonight knowing that that is what's going on next door.
Okay.
And so I text one of my friends and she said, well, you're welcome to stay here if you want. And then she called me back a few minutes later and she said, my offer still stands. You and the kids can come stay at my house. However, I feel like you can handle this.
Okay.
And I said, do you know, I really feel like the Lord is telling me I can handle this too. So, and I'm trying to think if this was after the time that everybody prayed for me. It may have been actually the same night. I think I may have texted them to come that night, but they took me seriously. Like, I didn't think they'd take me seriously because I'm just like afraid of something. You know, I don't know. Like, it sounds like a kid thing.
Like, you just need to get over it.
Yeah, but no, they took me really seriously, and especially this one friend of mine because she struggled with it for a really long time. And my pastor, he said, no, we take this seriously because we want to see you set free from this. We don't want you bound by it anymore. So they prayed for me, and that really kind of began this journey.
How long ago was that?
That was at the very end of 2012. So 2013 was a huge year of walking away from fear. Like, I was not the same person in December 2013 as I was in January 2013.
Okay, so tell me, what does it look like to walk away from fear?
It just looked a lot like repeating scripture, a lot of prayer, facing things. I know that might sound weird, but it was like, no, I will turn my light out.
Okay.
And I will go to bed early, and I will not stay up till 3 a.m. and then get up at 7 with my three kids and be exhausted all day. Yeah. You know, I was just like,
I do that too. When my husband goes out of town, I will stay up until I fall asleep and I don't even know I've fallen asleep. So I get that.
Yeah, exactly. And I would just kind of, I had this list of scriptures that I would read every night before I would go to bed. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 4:8, like the one, I can lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I would repeat that over and over and over in the dark until I went to sleep.
That's so good.
Because so it was like baby steps for me, but it was just, I know I'm not giving like real solid things, but
that's pretty solid. Was just
a lot of prayer. I mean, I just prayed constantly. I was really careful about my input as far as like what I watched and what I listened to. I realized I was in a vulnerable place, and if I wanted to move forward, I had to take out the triggers.
So good. So what are some triggers for you?
Like detective shows that I absolutely love.
Yes, because they may be looking for your neighbor.
Right. So, you know, even like Bones. Like, I love Bones and shows like that. But I just knew for a season I could only watch like Parks and Rec
or
things that were light and that wouldn't trigger that like adrenaline response, you know, nothing intense. And I started like seeking out teachings to listen to and things like that, whereas before I didn't do that as much. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just became really intentional with that. And I became this person that listened to a lot of worship music, and I'm not like laughing. That's not a bad thing. I love it, but I just knew I needed to be putting in things that would encourage my spirit. Mm-hmm. So lots of journaling. Like, I journaled a lot.
Was it just what you were afraid of, or what does that look like?
So for me, it's like my journal to God.
Okay.
And I would just write out everything that I was feeling. Like, and it was good. It was the good stuff. It was like the ugly stuff. It was the bad stuff. I mean, it's kind of like everything goes for me in my journal. Mm-hmm. And it allowed me to empty my mind onto the page. And then I would be able to listen better to what he was telling me. Like, then I would write Krista and put a dash, and I would write what I felt like he was telling me. Like, I don't know if that sounds weird, but
no, that's really good. I think sometimes some people think, I don't want to focus too much on how I'm feeling because then all my focus is on myself and that's not going to work. But then, like you're saying, if you're in a place where you just need to clear some of the cobwebs out or some of the things going on in your brain, getting it out can, like you said, clear some space to hear.
Exactly.
I think that's great.
Exactly. That's what I had to do. And I know everybody's different. So like what some one person needs may not be the same thing that another person needs, but I am an overthinker, so I had to get it out, you know?
Yes. How do you see other people set free? Like, what role do you play in that?
Right now, I feel like I just try to speak a lot of truth And that comes into the like how God sees us and the Father's heart for us. Mm-hmm. So through that process of, you know, walking away from fear and letting the Lord set me free, I realized that underneath all of that, there were some root lies that I was believing about God. And I had partnered with lies instead of the truth about God. Okay. So I'm a real advocate for like, get down to the root. Like, let's get down to the root of this. Why do you feel like you believe this? And for me, the big lie was that God wasn't going to come through for me,
okay.
Which is not true about his character. And it's not true about how he feels about us, you know? So when I'm with someone who's dealing with some of these things, I try to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, like, do I just need to listen? Do I just need to, like, do I need to, what kind of questions do I need to ask? Because maybe in that moment, that person doesn't need a dig down to the root question. They need a truth of, no, like, the Lord loves you. His heart towards you is good. He wants good things for you. He will come through for you, you know? But sometimes it's like, so why do you think you believe that? You know, why do you think you're struggling with that right now? So like, sometimes it's questions, sometimes it's speaking the truth. And then I feel like always it's praying.
Yeah. Sounds like you are pretty discerning, you know, or at least you're trying to be. A lot of people who have that as a gift, you know, we don't want to say, oh, yes, I'm very discerning. But I mean, it sounds like from what I'm hearing that that's something that you have going on. Is that something that has grown out of the struggle, or have you always kind of been able to see things that other people don't always see?
I feel like that probably started for me in high school, which is when I really met the Lord. And I went to a church where, you know, they talked a lot about the Holy Spirit and having a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And so, I mean, I'm really glad to have figured out that what a lot of times I'm sensing is the Lord telling me things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it probably started when I was younger. I would just pick up on like things in the atmosphere.
What do you mean by that?
As in, like, I remember this one guy that I was friends with, and every time he'd come around, I would get super insecure.
Okay.
And I always thought it was me. I was like, is this just me being really insecure? Mm-hmm. But as time went on, I came to realize that was a struggle for him. And so instead of me taking that on and feeling like, ooh, I'm insecure and turning inward, I needed to be like in my mind, obviously not like in a big group of people, but like praying for him.
Okay.
You know, like praying against that like insecurity, if that makes sense. So
So you just find that you're pretty sensitive to what's going on.
What's going on? Yeah.
Do you think that's something that, like, a discernment spiritually, if that is something, okay, here, let me try that again. Do you feel like spiritual discernment is something that can be fostered and grown? Like, have you seen it grow in your life, or is it kind of something that you have? Because I would love to be more that way, I guess, is why I'm asking. But I don't know. I don't know if I can.
Yes, I definitely think so. Yeah, I think it totally can be grown. I think every single believer has the ability to be discerning and grow that discernment totally. I think it grows out of a place of just digging into the Lord and going after him and learning to hear his voice. And it takes practice. I think it's scary. And I think it's one of those things that we're like, what if we get it wrong?
Yeah.
Like, what if it's not the Lord and it's me or whatever? I mean,
God didn't actually tell me to buy that Lexus. Oopsies.
Right. Right. But everybody does that. I mean, it's a learning process. It's a learning curve. And I think everybody definitely can grow that. It's grown for me. Like, you know, when I say, oh, in high school, I would sense these things, it was different than it is now.
Okay.
But that year of walking away from fear, like, I remember at the beginning of the year, the Lord said, I mean, I was like, Lord, I'm desperate for a change. Things cannot go on like this. And I really, it was like, almost like I saw him like holding his hand out to me, like, are you ready? Are you ready to go take this journey? Like, let's do this together.
Okay.
And so that journey was really about freedom, but it was about having deeper relationship with the Lord and learning what he said about me and learning how he felt about me. And then that applies to everybody. It's like, not just me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like that it's truths that apply to every single person, but I had to believe that for myself in order to gain that freedom.
Yes.
So yes, totally. You can grow in that.
All right. I love that. Okay. So tell me about where the whole gut health passion came from.
I know, that's such a weird one.
It's important. It really, I mean, I'm a nurse. I understand it's important, even though we don't really talk about that in Western medicine, which is
right, we
our
don't.
Definite downfall, I think.
Yeah, we don't at all. So it started with me. I have always had stomach problems pretty much my whole life. And I just thought, like, now I know that part of it was probably like nervousness, like anxiety. Like I probably had like an anxious belly. But I also know now that I ate a lot of things that my body could not process, okay. But I didn't know that. Like, we didn't know that, you know, all these years ago. So in college, I guess in high school even, I knew I couldn't drink milk anymore. So I dropped the milk. And then it was just like been this process of elimination for me of cutting things out and trying these different things. Like, we did raw, we did vegetarian, like we did all these different things and like paleo. And finally, I came across some stuff, which paleo and Whole30 talk about it, but I came across some stuff that just talked about your gut health and the bacteria in your gut, and it just like sparked something in me. I was like, that is me. Like a lot of the symptoms of leaky gut and things like that. Yeah. And so as I started eliminating certain things from my diet, I could notice a huge improvement.
Okay.
And my children have a lot of the same issues as me. And that pushed me even further when my 4-year-old was telling me she had a stomach ache every day.
Oh,
I thought, we can't do this.
Like,
we have to figure something out. And then my second had stomach issues as well, a lot of trouble potty training. And I just kind of thought, he just can't get it together. I feel terrible. I thought that, but we took out wheat and gluten, and a lot of his problems disappeared.
Okay.
So
have you found a change in behavior?
Behavior is a huge one for my second. Yes. Okay. Huge for my second. So that gut brain connection has been huge for him. I mean, yesterday, actually, we got a treat from Trader Joe's with my parents, and we came home, and I did not even think to check the ingredients because it was chocolate-covered marshmallows. So I thought, okay, I pretty much know what's in here. Mm-hmm. Well, we came home, and all of a sudden, my second son, my first son, my second child, he was making these crazy sounds and really hyper and bouncing off the walls. And the thought went through my mind, he's acting like he's gotten wheat.
Really? How interesting.
And so I pulled that box out, and the first ingredient, I don't even remember what it was called, but in parentheses, it said wheat. Oh. And I was like, oh man. Okay. And so I see it within like an hour sometimes, or even minutes, if it's like he has M&Ms, like red food dye is a big one for him. And
interesting.
If there's in sugar combined with wheat and gluten and food dye is like the trifecta that creates
my gosh.
Absolute craziness for 2 days. So yes, it has a huge effect on his behavior.
Okay. So for a mom who, I mean, we all seem fine as far as we know.
Right.
If somebody was going to stop just for, I would say just for fun, but none of that sounds fun at all. Where would you point a mom who's considering maybe thinking about possibly someday doing the unthinkable?
The unthinkable things. Yes. Okay. So some resources that I have found super helpful are Body Ecology, which is called Body Ecology Diet by Donna Gates.
Okay.
I will say ahead of time, it's a little overwhelming, but they have what's called Bedrock, which is Body Ecology Recovering Our Kids. So that's one of theirs. Josh Axe is another one. I think his website is draxe.com. Okay. And I don't love like absolutely everything he says, but what I do love is that he is very clear about what leaky gut is and the symptoms.
Okay.
And then he gives like 4 steps of things to do, which I feel like I need clear steps.
Yeah.
You know, like that really helps me. So those two have been really good resources. And the Josh Axe one is new. I listened to what recently Donna Gates and Josh Axe put together with another doctor, Eric Zielinski, maybe. I don't really know much about him, but they did this whole Heal Your Gut Summit, and it was like free the week it was on. And I listened to some of those talks. It's a lot of information. So I would tell people, like, go slow. Mm-hmm. Don't get overwhelmed. Like, don't feel like it's all or nothing. I have to do everything right now.
Okay. You eased into it?
That's what I did. No, kind of. I mean, we did, but then we also were just like, whew, cut everything out. And it's overwhelming. And I get paralyzed when I feel like it's too much.
Right.
Like, we did a whole 30, which I have to say that actually might be a really good place to start because there's so many resources for that.
For sure.
I wouldn't want to keep eating that way forever. But what I think is really encouraging is that if you go through the process to heal your gut, then some of the foods that you've had sensitivities to, you're actually able to eat because you've let your gut heal so it can actually handle it every once in a while. Okay. So that's encouraging to me.
Yeah. Have you found, other than your stomach, do you feel differently and in what ways?
My stomach definitely feels way better. I have more energy. This is probably TMI, but I'm like more regular.
Okay. Yeah. That's perfect.
I have less foggy head. I can like think more clearly.
Okay.
The whole thing with the connection, like this is one little tidbit mm-hmm. I'll leave you with, is one thing on one of these talks that I thought was so crazy cool was that for every one nerve that goes from our brain to our gut to send signals, mm-hmm. there are 9 nerves that go from our gut to our brain to send signals. So our stomach is like a second brain, and it sends more signals to our brain than our brain does to our gut with information.
Interesting.
And they have found out that like kids who have like a sports injury and it's a head injury, within 30 minutes of having a head injury, their stomach is inflamed because of the connection. Mm. It makes sense then why when I give my son food that his body finds toxic, that pretty quickly I see a result, because there's so many nerves that when his stomach gets inflamed, sending signals to the brain. So then you have inflammation in the brain.
Interesting.
It's just it's so crazy. It's like, gosh, our bodies are crazy cool.
Yeah, they are. Tell me about how you manage going to eat with other people, and how do you work this into your life in a way that doesn't make you outcasts?
I love it.
Having to stand outside the city gates.
It's challenging. I've been all over the place with it. I've not gone places because it just feels too hard with the kids, like birthday parties. I've gone to birthday parties and just let them have whatever. That seems to be their bigger thing, is like birthday parties.
Okay.
Or like potlucks at church.
Okay.
So sometimes I would just be like, whatever, they can just have it and I'll deal with the behaviors for like the next few days, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I also go the other extreme where I'm like, absolutely not. You can't have anything. And it's like a battle the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, not absolutely nothing. I'll bring stuff. I'll bring what I feel like they can eat.
Okay.
So I've kind of been all over the board. And I have to say, I've sort of taken on, and this is not good, but like a victim mentality about it all.
Okay.
And the way I've realized, I've talked about it to people, is like, oh, poor us.
Okay.
And my pastor recently was like, you really shouldn't talk about it that way.
Okay.
I mean, he was really nice about it, but he said, you know, like, it's a privilege and a joy that you get to choose how you eat and that you know this information that can help your family and your health. Just don't even talk about it if you're going to talk about it in a way that's like, oh, we eat this way and you don't. Or, oh man, we eat this way and it sucks.
Okay.
You know, but just to like take that perspective, this is just how we eat. And we're really happy and thankful that we live somewhere where we can eat the way we know we need to. And that was like a good perspective shift for me. Nice. So since then, I haven't really been out with my kids, but
there you go.
But it's okay. We bring stuff frequently is what we end up doing. Okay.
How do your kids appreciate that?
They don't right now.
They didn't appreciate it. Okay.
My oldest sort of is getting it more and more when she comes home and has like stomach issues.
Mm, okay.
She's learning how to make the choices on her own based on her own body and her own body's reactions.
Okay. Which is ultimately what she has to do anyway. So that's
yeah. And I will say my third, who is my second daughter, my third child, Isley, she has pretty bad eczema. And when we keep all this food out, the eczema goes away.
Okay.
So there are times where I've heard her tell people, I can't eat that because it will give me more eczema. Hmm. And so she makes that choice because it really itches her. It bothers her. Hmm. So yeah, I think they're sort of getting it.
That's great. All right. So you mentioned to me that you are working to change the way you talk to your family.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
I just have like a terrible temper. Yeah. And I was thinking about it today, and I think that sometimes I can just be so immature in that area of things aren't going my way and I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm. It really is a bummer that we have to be the grown-ups all the time.
Yeah, it feels hard, and I get overwhelmed pretty quickly with all four because I homeschool, so we're all home all day together every day. Mm-hmm. And which I'm going to be putting my youngest in preschool ASAP.
Okay.
I sort of realized that would really help us a lot, and possibly my 4-year-old, because I think she would really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I had to do on the biggest homework days with my daughter. My son needs to go somewhere fun and finger paint. He just needs to.
Yeah, because I'll just get overwhelmed really quickly. And then all of a sudden it's like, I've talked to everybody like crap. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, hey, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? It's like, I lose all knowledge of how to properly parent your children. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Like, they don't hear what you're saying when you talk like that. Yeah. They only hear the tone behind it and like the emotion behind it. So they're not really learning anything. They're just like, oh, get out of mom's way.
Yeah.
So that's been a process for me of just like, I don't have to do this. But I will say, I feel like I've partnered with anger. And I mean, rage feels like a big word, but like sometimes it's just like anger explodes out of me and I feel like that's rage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to dress it up and call it frustration. Just put a little bow on it. You know what I mean? You might as well call it what it is.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, it's just this. But I feel like I've partnered with these things for so long that like I don't even see the choice anymore. So my prayer has been, God, show me this choice. And so lately it's like I see it coming and I run right past it.
I love your just the language you're using, that we have a choice of what we partner with. And yeah, just to look in what has been my, historically, what have I done?
Right.
And what do I want to do in the future? That's really great.
Yeah, because we talk all about as Christians that we have this choice, and we do have a choice. But when you make, to me, I feel like when you make this choice to partner with a negative thing for so long, I don't want to say you like, I feel like you give up your choice, you know, and you, that's why we have to ask the Lord, like, okay, I need to even see the choice. You know, like, and I think it's okay to even like, sometimes I feel like, well, they shouldn't have done that. I mean, this is wrong. I'm not saying this is right in any way. So please.
Well, they probably shouldn't have done it. Whatever they did, I'm on your side.
Right. They shouldn't have done it. And so sometimes I feel like, well, maybe they should have been talked to like that, like whatever. Mm. They just shouldn't have done that. And so it's almost like there's this part of me that like doesn't want to change, but I feel like there's thing where it's like, it's okay to say, I want to change. And the Lord meets you there. And then you get to this place where you're like, yes, Lord, I desperately want to change, which I feel like I'm there now. And then I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to change. So help me see the choice. And then it's help me make the choice. I mean, it's a process. Mm-hmm. I feel like you said, what we've historically partnered with for so long to let the Lord, I mean, some people it's like freedom, like something they have an encounter and boom, they're set free. Yeah. But I think for a lot of us, it's a process and just asking the Lord, like, let me see the choice. So the other day, something was going on. I don't remember with my second. He's my most challenging, I feel like, right now. And I could just feel the blood boiling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, went stalking in that room. And right before I got in the room, I heard so clearly, Krista, you have a choice. Mm. I was like, whoo, thank you. I mean, it didn't like completely diffuse my anger right away, but I was able to be like, okay, I will just pick him up and take him to his room until we're calm. Mm-hmm. I'm just really thankful that I'm finally hearing.
Yes.
You have a choice.
Yeah. So what do you do to diffuse anger just like in the moment? How do you kind of create that space for calm for you personally?
I frequently have to remove myself or my child from the situation.
Okay.
I would like to say that I can just remove me, but a lot of times if I just remove me, then I come back to more problems, like more fires, because like the kids have taken advantage of the fact that I've walked out in an intense moment. So I frequently put the child or children who are fighting or creating the mess or like whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Into another room. And then I go take a deep breath or pray frequently. I'm like, Lord, just like, help me with this. Like, I don't understand. Like, why does this keep happening? Mm-hmm. So I frequently remove the child. And then I have like a little bit of prayer. And then when I finally can like stop seeing red and see, okay, they're just kids. They're learned too. And then lots of hugging and lots of apologizing.
Okay.
I mean, I think at times some of them need a hug in the moment. And if I can keep it together enough, like stay calm, then I'd rather hug them in the moment. Because I think sometimes that's just what they need. They just need a hug, and that helps diffuse it. Yeah. But if I'm really angry, I need the space.
Do you find that some of your kids are more willing to apologize than other kids?
Oh, definitely.
I have a child who I don't know if she's, I have a girl and a boy, so it's obviously the girl. I don't know if she'll ever apologize of her own free will. My little boy is like so happy to apologize. And it's like he means it. Or at least it seems like he means it. I have no idea.
It's like more heartfelt. You just know. They're like, oh, you know, they feel. Yeah, I have a few that are like, I'm not apologizing until she apologizes first.
So nice.
You know, and I'm like, Well, I mean, it's, I don't always know. Like sometimes, I mean, you don't want to like force an apology to where they say it when they don't mean it. But at the same time, I'm like, that's fine. You can go to your room until you're ready to fix this mess.
Yeah.
You know, this like emotional mess that you've created with your sibling.
Yeah. Oh man.
But it is hard and he'll wait it out forever sometimes, you know?
Like, so funny.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Oh my gosh. What would you say to a mom who's having a really rough day?
I think I would say every moment is new. You know, we hear that every day is new, but the Lord one day was like, you know, every moment is new.
Hmm.
Like, it's not just, oh, let's get through this day and we'll just finish it and tomorrow's a new day. Like, he just was like, I can change this moment. Now, I don't say that I totally take that on every day. You mm-hmm. know, I'm not like, every moment's new.
Yeah.
You know, I try. Yeah. Like, it's not easy. I mean, there are days where it's the end of the day and I'm just like, go to bed. You know, there's like no bedtime routine. I'm like, look at books by yourself, you know, like,
yeah, wow, bedtime
we
is
hit
hard.
That point.
But yeah,
then there's other times where I'm able to, okay, take a deep breath, see the truth in this situation. It's not the end of the world. You know, my third one will say, Mom, this is just going to take forever. And I thought, she is vocalizing what I feel like in my overwhelming state.
Yeah.
But I think I'd also say to a person in the middle of it that, like, you're not your worst day.
Mm.
And one of my good friends, Dorian, will say that to me all the time. Like, I'd text her and she'd say, Krista, you're not your worst day.
So good.
And then I listen to this guy, Chris Vallotton. I like him a lot. And when a lot of his teachings, he'll say, like, you're not your worst moment. Your worst moment doesn't define you. Mm. That worst moment feels heavy and gross and like, this is who you are, but it's not. It's a moment where you decided to, or where you even, maybe you didn't feel like you even had the decision, but where the wrong choice was made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. That is not who you are. You know, you're who the Father says you are.
Yeah.
You know, like, regardless of this, you are redeemed. You are loved in this place. Like, he will come through for you in this place. You can have freedom in this place, even if you don't feel like you have freedom right now. His heart for us is so huge. And so, and guilt comes with those bad moments. And like, mm-hmm. it's really taken me a long time to be like, no, just like throw that guilt out the window. Mm-hmm. Like, God says there's no guilt, there's no shame. Mm-hmm. There is conviction, and that's yes. good, because that's the birthplace of change.
Mm. But knowing the difference is
yeah.
hard to tell. There was a girl I interviewed and she said that guilt is really general, shame and guilt.
Yeah.
Conviction is specific.
Oh, that's true.
Because God wants us to be able to change, and if it's just this general overwhelm,
yeah.
how can we change that?
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's true. Because like, as a mom, the general thought with the guilt is just, I'm a bad mom.
Yeah.
But like, when you have conviction, you're like, ooh, I'm convicted because I said that to my child. It is. It's way more specific. That's really good.
Yeah, I thought that was neat.
That guilt is like an access point for the enemy too. Like, when I stay in that guilty place, I'm totally creating this space for the enemy to come in and like bug me and torment me. And, you know, I listened to this teaching and they talked about like, just ask the Lord to close that access point, you know? And so I did one day. And you know what? Like, it made a difference for me. Like,
it's great.
I don't feel that. So whenever I start to feel that guilt coming on again, I'm like, no, I'm forgiven. Like, I'm forgiven. That doesn't mean I don't have to change my behavior,
right.
But it just means I don't have to carry on the weight of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, again, I was talking to someone else. I'm having such terrible memory about who I'm talking to, but these conversations are happening, I promise.
Yeah. No,
I don't know when and I don't know with whom, but one of my friends was saying that in battle, you would try to wound the person where they were already wounded rather than like pick a new spot.
Yes.
And so like, you're talking about access points. I would assume that, you know, that's a yeah. place that he's had victory before in kind exactly. of ruining our day. And so we might as well head back there. It worked last time.
That's good. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly what it is. I think that's the perfect picture of what it is. That's good.
It's powerful stuff. Gosh, it's so hard to think like all these big picture, eternal, spiritual, on that realm. It's hard when you're like trying to make them eat zucchini and,
oh my gosh,
you know, do the
yes.
laundry.
Yeah.
It's important.
Just write the letter A, okay? I know, like in the middle of that, you're like not thinking yes. that through for
but
sure.
But it's important. It's important to
it
still
is.
Think about those things. So, okay, I have one last question. What can you not stop talking about?
Right now, it's like the Bethel Kids DVD CD set.
There you go. So corny, no, tell me about it. I don't know about it.
We absolutely love it. So Bethel is, I love Bethel. You've heard of Bethel, right? In California and Reading, the big church.
Yes.
Okay. So I listen to a lot of their stuff and they put out a kids CD / DVD. Like they're this, it's exactly the same songs, but it's just so fun because in the DVD, it's like actual music videos with the kids that like sang the songs and they do all these really cool like choreographed dances. And
no way.
My kids absolutely love it. They're like, they want to do the dances. And
do you buy it at like the store? Or do you, can you get it off
of Amazon? I just got it on Amazon and it just says CD like when you order it, but it's a CD DVD set. They both come together. In the same pack, and you can get it on their website or I feel like anywhere, but Amazon always, you know, has the best prices. But yeah, it's just I love it because they're like singing these songs, you know, and it's like putting that in their mind, these truths about the Lord. Like we were walking through Target and Rowan singing, you know, I can't sing well, so I'm gonna say it, but like, you know, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs down on me. And he's just like singing that through Target, you know. And I thought that's what I want them to get. Like I want them to know that. So we're pretty obsessed with it. My husband's like, I can't listen to that one more time.
That's funny.
I'm like,
so most of you are pretty obsessed with it.
Yeah, not him.
That's funny. Well, I'm gonna look into that. I think my kids would really like that.
I just feel like it shows, this is fun stuff. Like worship music is good. Worshiping the Lord is fun. You know, it's not just something we do in church, you know.
Have you heard of Yancey?
No.
My kids really like Yancey.
We will have to look that up. Yeah, we just found I subscribed to the Bethel YouTube channel.
Okay.
And so they have four, like you can check it out before you want to buy it. If you like want, you know, you can just watch the videos on YouTube. They've got like four videos up there of the kids ones. And it's just so fun. So that's kind of how we started listening to it. But yeah, I'm excited. And they have like the choreography videos if you want to learn the dances.
The kids would love that.
They would. Kids love this stuff.
They do.
It's great.
Awesome. Well, Krista, thank you for talking to me today. It was really good to get to know you better.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's very fun to talk with you.
I know. Well, we'll see you around the World Wide Web.
Good.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Emily.
Bye.
Bye.
I love that. For someone who struggles with anxiety, I found Krista to be very confident and calm. What about you? I wanted to clarify something. I remembered some of the things that I forgot earlier. It was Rachel Baxter who was talking about the differences between guilt and conviction, and that was in episode 30. And about how the enemy likes to go after the same spots that are already wounded. I'm pretty sure that was my friend Heather. She, in case you haven't heard of her, but I bet that you have, she's the host of the God-Centered Mom podcast. She's a really wise lady, and you should know about her if you don't already. She's actually who got me into podcasting, so if you like this show, you should send her a thank you card. Sometimes you just need somebody else to see potential in you that you haven't seen yet. And she did that for me. So, what will be your strategy to struggle well this week? Maybe you see potential in someone and you can encourage them. Maybe you liked Krista's idea of hugging your kids in the moment instead of storming off to have some calm. Sometimes I've found that that really does make a difference. Maybe you need to have a closer look at what you're partnering with. I really thought that was a great concept that she shared. Maybe you want to look into the gut health materials that she mentioned or the Bethel Music for Kids. All those links will be in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. My strategy to struggle well this week will be regarding journaling. I really liked her idea to get out all the concerns on paper and then write your name and then what you know is actually true based on scripture about God, about his character, and about his thoughts towards you. It seems so simple, but also really valuable. So remember, your worst moment does not define you. And if you're feeling anxious this week, remember this. Psalm 32 says, "Steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord." We are surrounded on every side, but it's not by the gloom and doom that we sometimes think. We're surrounded by the kind intentions and the strong love of a God who made the universe. I'm praying for you, ladies. I hope you have a great week of struggling well.